Chapter 28, Kundalini, The Power of Eternity. We live in times of great turmoil. We are living in a stage of development in which new demands come to the fore from time to time. This is a new era that naturally thrusts itself forward when there is opposition. Because of the chaos prevailing everywhere, the world has come very close to an explosion. Humanity is experiencing world events, just like watching and living a film as shown in some cinema. And so we want to lead you in your imagination to the biggest cinema in the world. This is a cinema in which people readily pay for the right to wait in the queue of the insatiable, after which they are admitted to the temple of moving images. There you see one great glittering illusion, one great imitation of everything that perhaps once was considered real or true. What you see there is the delusion of which the human being with his clouded vision is proud, because the image shown him in the bewitched darkness seizes him like a hypnotic trance. It is all ostentation and pretentious display produced by soulless machines for an audience that appears to be soul-forsaken. Like cattle being led to the slaughter, the crowds are pushed into the queues inside the guide ropes. When, after an overwhelming burst of music and darkness, a sufficient number of stupefied people has left the cinema, those waiting make room for an ever-swelling stream of new people, so that everyone gets the opportunity of being swallowed up into the monster's gullet. The people are watched painstakingly, lest anyone escape the abyss of oblivion. The whole show is one great draft of oblivion as the images rapidly follow one another, and a stream of false gratification flows continuously on, for no one is allowed to get bored. No one may wake up from his doze, which is like that of cattle chewing the cud. Nor is anyone allowed to think, and so the events have to succeed one another without allowing a spare second. He cannot be allowed to wake up, let alone realize that all this is totally alien to the one true soul life that emanates from God. He must not realize that this poisoned food is served to the human race to prevent any spark of light from flaring up. This is why events must succeed one another with frenetic speed, so that people don't have time to see what they are being served. These ingenious machinations, composed of intelligence without any conception of deeper values, these machinations of stupefaction and decomposition, are controlled by the powers and forces of this world. No matter how tragic this may sound, humanity is experiencing, without any essential depth, the emotions of this existence in a world that is meant to be a house of transition to the eternal reality. The majority of people is constantly waiting for new sensations. A human race totally imprisoned in the inebriated atmosphere of inferior astral turmoil in the universe. That is the state of present-day humanity. The human drama has its cause in astral disturbances. What are astral disturbances? They are light forces made of root substance. Astral power is atomic power, or in other words, astral power is made up of atoms in a certain state. Astral light power is a current, an amalgamation or concentration of atoms, which are absorbed by the human chakra system and spread throughout the whole personality, causing it to react to and live out of this. In the following formula, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, points to the essential cause of the continuous dramatic turmoil which characterizes this world order and in which humanity, contrary to its own nature, thoughtlessly takes sides and, precisely because of that, keeps the astral turmoil going. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, we read, "For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Generally, the human heart proves to be totally closed because of the chain of wrongly oriented feelings and thoughts. This is why it no longer understands anything about the works of God, let alone the power of faith in Christ. Do you see it any differently? Do you think the majority of humanity, having been affected by the psychosis of fear that is sweeping through practically the whole earth, could possibly be open to the liberating forces of God's kingdom, not of this world? This is not obvious to the spiritual school of the Golden Rosy Cross although the leaders of the spiritual school are convinced that there are countless numbers of people in the world who are yearning for a totally different field of life. Through its focal points, the spiritual school has been sounding its soul-liberating call in the world since 1924. But the purposely contrived increasing acceleration of events helps to nip in the bud every call emanating from the Gnosis. The Christ once said, "Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." The spiritual school, too, and many of its pupils, is not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers and world rulers of darkness, in short, against the malevolent forces of the universe. Who is chained to the earth on all sides, possess the faculty to distinguish between the works of good and evil. How could anyone with a heart that lacks warmth be receptive enough to believe in divine intervention, or in the liberating radiation of Christ, or in a brotherhood that totally dedicates itself to humanity? We do not intend to make you feel gloomy, but it is important that you fathom deeply the reality of all these things. The Christ hierarchy knows all these things, and so bitter truths have to be stated by its servants so that one day the true Christian will awake from the slavery of dark thinking and accept his pilgrimage to the new heaven-earth. Everyone who stands in this process knows only too well that this journey of development is not simple. Nevertheless, we may say that in many of us, the power of the Father has already turned into light. What does this mean? When a pupil is kindled by the light of Christ, and he begins to arouse the divine forces of the Father fire hidden in his being, his actions will produce light and warmth. Then the divine forces in him have been released, the smoldering spark has ignited into a supernal radiation. The pupil becomes conscious that the new soul human being is being born within him according to the power structures of the divine order. And the Spirit of God is about to illuminate the new soul being. That is, if he is striving earnestly to become a light shining for others, and if he is willing to hold wake over the fiery pillars of the spiritual light that the spiritual school has lit by means of its focal points. This journey passes right through bitterness and many disappointments, and no servant who has been driven by his inner soul being to proclaim the light of Christ has ever been an exception to this. But through all the trials and tribulations, every pupil will one day celebrate the victory. There is nothing to fear if you try to respond to the divine law of love, because then you will be found worthy of fulfilling the highest human calling, i.e., to serve the world and humanity. There is no other way of reaching new and broader insight that will ultimately take you to the core of the spiritual light. What was said by the two rulers Festus and Agrippa to Paul when he stood before them and testified of the gospel of the light? They said that he must be mad to talk such gibberish. Not only the blinded ruler Festus spoke in that way, people speak that way today also. If the servants of a bona fide spiritual school did not speak from inner conviction, they would long ago have been turned over to the God of this century. Many charlatan apostles and false servants present themselves as workers, right to this very day. The Christ once said to such people, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." John 8:44-45. The Holy Scriptures also tell us that even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. So what can we expect from his vassals? Therefore, if you dare to act as Paul, scorn and ridicule will be your reward. But let this be your consolation. It is not he who commends himself that is accepted, but he whom the Lord commends. 2 Corinthians 10:18. We see the confirmation of this truth in Paul when he faced Agrippa. Paul had a radiantly enlightened heart of love, but his hands were tied, for his works were not of this world. Agrippa, on the other hand, showed a completely opposite picture. He was a ruler of this world. His heart was chained, but he was free to act because his actions conform to what the world has to offer. Paul, with a liberated spirit, was fully conscious that he was facing slaves of this sinful world. However, Agrippa, by means of his worldly power, was able to keep Paul's hands chained in order to stop him at all costs from making God's works great. But nothing and nobody could stop Paul. How could it be any other way? For anyone who has been able to kindle the true spiritual light in himself can dare to show himself openly, and whoever considers himself capable of this in God's power will receive the reward of having the chains fall off his hands. The Young Gnostic Brotherhood does not spare any effort in giving its pupils insight into the divine plan for the world and humanity, and it shows the way to be liberated from the principalities, the astral forces, and the ensouled powers of the nature of death. It is of primary importance that you know that the human being lives in a field of existence in which every activity has a reflection, a side effect. That reflection is a mirror image. It is unnatural and a caricature. The great goal of all of life is projected and reflected in the astral world. The great reality of the life of the divine soul is depicted there, but also the aspects and the consequences of lower life in all its motley patterns. When the Logos manifests himself in his triplicity, a threefold caricatural reflection of it is created in our field of existence. Hence, after the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the principalities, powers, and world rulers manifest themselves. Why is this? Of the four vehicles of the personality, the astral body is the most important because it is the fundamental one. That fundamental body, in fact, determines the state of the whole personality. It is by means of the astral vehicle that the human being is linked to the magnetic body around him, to the forces within it, and to the various astral currents. By astral exhalation, the human being passes on to his environment what he has absorbed. This also applies to the pupils of our school, of course, and our spiritual school takes this into account. It has to do this because from time to time the school admits people who could present a certain amount of danger to it and who could thus slow down the work. These people, especially at present, bring fatal astral influences into the spiritual school. Our opinion about this needs to be based on the fundamental vehicle, i.e., the astral body of the people concerned, and not on external appearances, for example, whether they appear to be sympathetic, nice, or loving. In this respect, too, it is not humane feelings that ought to guide the worker, but pure insight. If this is still lacking in a worker or pupil, he must keep strictly to the spiritual school's rules, which must not be departed from. Thanks to God that many of our pupils are already occupied in reaching the state of the reborn soul, after which they can begin to build the vehicles of the new spirit-soul state. The spiritual school wishes to make every pupil conscious of the fact that he is called to cooperate in the execution of a great plan, a plan of liberation that embraces the world and humanity. This making conscious is something you should understand clearly. It is not simply a case of passing on knowledge about a coming event or its development, for there would be little sense in that. But for example, if you become conscious that you have helped to vivify a radiant, luminous line of force that is beginning to encircle the world like a girdle, then you will understand that by walking the soul. Liberating path, every pupil of our spiritual school can make an extraordinary and necessary contribution to the vivification and crowning of the great, holy work of the Brotherhood in Christ. Can I do that? You will possibly ask. Yes, as a pupil you can do that, because as a pupil, you have also become a member of the living body of the spiritual school. This living body completely surrounds you with its love radiations, with its magic Gnostic power. That power, that love, enables you to penetrate to the deepest depths of self-knowledge and wisdom. This is because your heart atom has an astral etheric link with your microcosm. It is a fiery power, a radiant faculty that breaks into your blood and nerve fluid. In the heart sanctuary, in and around the place where the primordial atom rests, is the source of the purifying and soul-realizing kundalini. In our philosophy, we call this kundalini the electromagnetic power of salvation, the power of eternity, the power which enables the pupil to rise up through and over the astral plane. The kundalini that rises up from the plexus sacralis is called the fiery power that transfigures the personality system. In that rose power, the pupil can accomplish all things. In that rose power, he will one day receive the new name. In that rose power, he is called after Christ the Lord, and he is named Christian Rosycross. If you, as a pupil of the spiritual school of the Golden Rosycross, help to forge this golden crown of fulfillment, the gratitude, the love, and the power of the whole world brotherhood will be poured out over you.